footsteps the day I found Moon Cottage. At once I thought of Palmer, who has always been close to my heart. It felt like a sign on that day, and it does so still. The spirit of the place is in that apple tree. It is very old, and the tips of the branches are brittle in winter. When the sap is dry, you can snap them off with scarcely any pressure. The trunk is knobbly, and each branch and twig twists and turns back upon itself, like old arthritic hands. On winter nights, small owls perch there, to scan the immediate fields, for it is a perfect lookout point. If you stand very still and in darkness at one of the upstairs windows, you are on the owl's level. If it turns its head, you may catch a glimpse of the hooded eyes. Stay long enough, and you will see it take off suddenly, silently from the tree, and skim down fast onto some creature lying in the undergrowth. We have hung an old weather-beaten feeding tray from one of its lower branches, so that in the daylight hours of the winter, the whole tree seethes with small birds hopping and bobbing. Tits, finches, sparrows, the robin, go constantly to and fro for nuts and scraps and seeds. The old stone flags at the foot of the tree are spattered with their droppings. There is always a wind about here. We are so exposed on all sides. And in late autumn and winter, the apple tree stands up to the gales, which hurl across the fen and up the slope towards us, with nothing until they reach it, above its stone wall, to break their force. There have been terrible nights when I have lain awake listening to the roar and boom, hearing branches groan and break, stakes and fences come up out of the ground like pulled teeth, slates and tiles slip and smash down, and I have feared for our frail-seeming tree, and in the mornings have gone out to survey the debris of the night, and been afraid to look in its direction. One February night, a single blast of wind, the eye of the storm, took half our heavy wooden fence, the glass roof of a neighbour's greenhouse, a lilac bush beyond it, two chimney pots, and an open garage door. It simply gathered them up into itself and flung them down again some yards away. But the apple tree still stood, resilient, indomitable as some small wooden ship on a stormy sea. After that, I did not worry about it. On clear winter nights, I go outside and stand underneath it, look up. Through the bare, down-curving branches, I see the moon, ringed with frost, and the hard, bright points of stars in a cold sky. The apple tree contains them within its shape and forms a shelter over me. It gives a framework to this place, the cottage, the garden, the near countryside, and to my vision of them. I should not like to lose it. The village in winter. Apart from a short, hard frost over Christmas, it had so far been a wet winter, mild and dank, a green winter, a winter of those fogs and mists that hang over all the ditches and dikes of the fen. Barley is set on a hill and runs away in a horseshoe shape down two sides of it, 200 feet above the fen. And all the water runs down there too, for the land just beneath your feet, wherever you stand, is a mesh of small streams, the veins of the village. So when it rains, as it had so far this winter, barley is soon dry again, but the fen is a bog, often flooded for weeks at a time, in spite of new and supposedly improved drainage systems installed by farmers down there in the hopes of making some of the land more suitable for corn. November, December, January. From Moon Cottage we looked down on those flat, water-filled fields, water that gleams the colour of gunmetal, with a grey sky above. It sounds drear, and drear it can be, lowering to the spirits of the watcher day after day. Yet it is also strangely beautiful, in the sombre way of those Dutch or Norwich landscape painters, whose glories lie in the greyness of sky and wind-torn clouds, and in every subtle variation in the way the winter light is reflected down.